Now, back to InfoTrack. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
There's a lot that goes into elder care, and it can be costly. But many families overlook available support and benefits that could save them thousands. InfoTrack reporter Jim Anthony has the details. Jim?
Thanks, Chris. Joining us today is Paula Almgren, an attorney specializing in estate planning, elder law, and life care. She is the author of the new book, Elder Care: The Rules, Navigating the Legal, Financial, Medical, Housing, and Care Maze. And what a maze it is. Paula, people are relatively good at planning for their education, their careers, home life, daily routines, but we seem to have a real problem with planning for our old age. Why the struggle?
I think it's because it's a series of unknowns. You don't know what's ahead, and sometimes people just don't want to think ahead. But I'll tell you that people who do think ahead have a lot easier time navigating it all, because once someone starts needing care, things change on a dime. You know, you have this one plan and you're going this way, and then you can start zigzagging and going sideways unexpectedly. So when they have a plan, they do a lot better.
And planning is obviously very important, and we're going to get to the basics, if you will, in the next couple of minutes. But, you know, when families first realize that they need to step in and help an aging parent, what's usually the biggest legal or financial mistake they make?
First of all, when the children don't live nearby or loved ones don't live nearby, they don't always know right away, because sometimes the person needing care can cover or seem like they're fine. Okay, so now they're in and they realize care is needed. They get a lot of inaccurate, conflicting, confusing information, and I think they waste some time trying to figure it out. Once they get together and get what we call like a fix on their financials, you know, what if you need $3,000 a month of care? How long is your money going to last? Like, kind of looking at the numbers, I think, puts people at ease in a way, because at least it's a known instead of an unknown. And then having conversations about, well, where do you want to age and where do you want to live and how is this going to work? I feel like when the family gets together and starts really talking, that it really helps them not make these big mistakes. You know, transferring money away without thinking about it, or, you know, I'm just going to give my house, you know, without really looking at the ramifications of that. I think putting together like a plan and knowing the options is really crucial.
The subtitle of your book identifies the five buckets, as you describe them, that are key to navigating the elder care process. So there's legal, financial, medical, housing, and care. And I think you just kind of alluded to this, but where do you believe is the best place to begin the planning process, and really when to start?
I think the best place to begin is putting together all of your assets and your income, first of all, just putting that data together. And then having an estate plan in place, because people think they need a will. People call my law office and they say, we need a will. They don't say, I need care and can I get VA benefits and what do I need if I'm incapacitated? Because estate planning documents are planning for incapacity and death. And incapacity is what's the hard part, right? Like, who's going to make your financial decisions if you can't? Who's going to make your healthcare decisions if you can't? So putting an estate plan together, a will, maybe a trust to avoid probate, keep assets and beneficiaries private, maybe some kind of asset protection, depending on what their situation is, a durable power of attorney, which is financial decision-making, healthcare proxy, healthcare decision-making. That is like the basic. That's going to carry you through as long as you have the right powers in there. So that's number one. And then what are your wishes? What do you want? And having conversations with your people, your trusted children or loved ones or circle of trust for people who don't have children.
People may look at the varying aspects of long-term care, you know, from insurance products to caregiving. You talk about the financials. They're just too expensive. And there's no doubt that the cost of care can be staggering. So here's a two-part question. What are the most common misconceptions we have about cost, first of all? And then secondly, what strategies or resources do you recommend to help families plan financially without draining all of their savings?
People who have minimal resources, what their goal is to stretch out their care dollars. Okay, so whatever they have, we want to stretch those out because care is so expensive. So if someone is in the home and needs care, we're going to look at what are the community-based Medicaid benefits that we could perhaps tap into? What are the basic home care benefits that we can get from your local senior services, you know, elder services, those kind of agencies? Because those agencies are the first stop. What do you have? They help with bill paying, housekeeping. You can get a certain amount of hours of care a week. Not a lot, 5, 6, 7, 8, but that's still a decent amount of care, especially for people who just need a little care. What about this community Medicaid? People want to stay home. People don't come to my office and say, okay, I'd like to go to a nursing home. They are like, I need to stay home. How can I stay home? So community-based Medicaid is a program that helps people with care and other benefits to stay home. And then I would say, okay, let's look at the VA. If I have a veteran, all wartime veterans can apply to get into the VA healthcare system, the VHA. There's not like hard and fast rules because sometimes people have too much income. Sometimes people have a lot of income, but they served in a certain part of the world and they're automatically eligible. So it's always worth trying to get into the VHA. And that allows you to get some home care, some hospice benefits, low prescription or no cost prescription. Some veterans, depending if they're disabled, can even have nursing home care covered. So that is an important stop, the VHA. Can I get in there? And that's for all veterans. For wartime veterans, their wives or their widows, there's a benefit called a pension with aid in attendance. And that has an asset limit like right now of around $157,000. But if you're a wartime vet, your care costs are higher than your income, and you need help with activities of daily living, for a veteran, it's $28,000 a year of tax-free money towards their care. For a married vet, $33,000. And for a widow of a wartime vet, $18,000. That's a chunk of money that really helps people stretch out their dollars.
Every situation is different, so it's not a one-size-fits-all for everybody.
No, but if you know all your options, like people just, you know, they come in here and they're like freaking out. You know, they have all this bad information from the hospital, their VNA, their hairdresser, their best friend. You know, they're getting all this conflicting info. And then once they know, oh, how does this apply to me? I'm like, oh, okay. When I do the numbers, I like to do spreadsheets for people because then they're like making decisions based on numbers sometimes instead of feelings. You're in assisted living and you can get that $33,000 a year of aid and attendance money. Maybe you're not even going to be touching principal and you're living in assisted living, you know, or home. So that's a big one.
I would think that you also have to play the role of psychologist because elder care often brings up tough family dynamics. There may be siblings who disagree on the pathway forward or adult children who may feel overwhelmed. In situations like that, what advice do you give families to prevent conflict and keep everyone on the same page, as challenging as it might be?
When it's a group of children, they're all going to try to row in the same direction to help mom or dad. There's always a dynamic. There's a dynamic between the parents and the kids, and there's a dynamic between the siblings, but it's always something there. Every family has its challenges. Every family has stuff. I just don't think we get through life without it. But when they're all trying to help the parents, it usually works. Every now and then you get the sibling that comes in and creates some chaos. But what's the best thing for the parent? What does the parent want? So if the parent has capacity, they can say, you know, sit down. But if the parent doesn't have capacity, but they've already named their healthcare agent and their power of attorney, then that's who their decision maker is. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but they can usually get on the same page when it's for the benefit of the person who needs the care.
Our guest is elder law attorney Paula Almgren. She is the author of the new book, Elder Care, The Rules, Navigating the Legal, Financial, Medical, Housing, and Care Maze. Thanks so much for joining us today and sharing your expertise and wisdom on this important topic.
Thank you. I also want to mention in the back of the book, there's tons of resources like questions to ask in assisted living, you know, those kind of things, healthcare questions. Like, you don't want to be somebody's healthcare proxy and not know what they want. So those kind of things also help the families kind of join up together and get on the same page.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because that was another question I had here, to let people know that when you get the book, there is a bunch of different documents, if you will, in the back of the book that people can fill out, questionnaires and whatnot, and that kind of helps that process. It kind of helps them get a greater hold on what it is they need to do. That's a very important point. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And I'm Jim Anthony for InfoTrack.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.